Support for UpToDate is provided by Geisinger, providing world-class care for our community, here where it matters.
Hello and happy Friday. This is UpToDate from WVIA News. I'm Sarah Cinto, here one last time this week to get you caught up with the news you should know about. Today, Lackawanna County has a new commissioner, but there's still a special election on the way. The candidates met for a debate last night. And I've got an idea for your weekend. How about a tour through a haunted library? It's Friday, October 24th. Let's get you up to date. We'll start with more fallout from the federal government shutdown. Hundreds of thousands of Pennsylvania households rely on a federally funded utility assistance program to help them keep their homes warm each winter. But the federal government shutdown means Pennsylvania has not received the funding it needs to run the program. Sophia Schmidt reports for WVIA.
The Low-Income Home Energy Assistance Program, or LIHEAP, helps households pay their gas or electric bills during the winter to heat their homes. Pennsylvanians can usually access grants through this program starting in November. But the state has not yet received the federal funding it needs to run the program. So Pennsylvania is pushing back the start of the program to early December. Officials say the program is on hold until the government shutdown ends and the federal government distributes LIHEAP funding to states. In the meantime, utilities like PECO and PGW are continuing to run their own assistance programs for customers struggling to pay their bills.
That was Sophia Schmidt reporting. Now back to Lackawanna County. With less than 2 weeks before Election Day, three Lackawanna County Commissioner candidates met for a debate on Thursday at the University of Scranton. WVIA's Boris Krauchenyuk has more.
Candidate debates sometimes turn nasty, just like a lot of political commercials on TV. Democrat Tom Welby, Republican Chet Murley, and Independent Michael Cappellini disagreed on issues at their Lackawanna County Commissioner debate Thursday, but mostly in a nice way. Maybe their sharpest disagreement was on reassessment. Cappellini favors implementing reassessment's new property values. Murley and Welby favor a pause so voters have more time to learn how to appeal values. Cappellini said the county can't back out of a taxpayer lawsuit settlement that forced reassessment. Their values are supposed to go into effect on January 1st. He accused Welby and Murley of lying and playing politics with the issue.
If we're going to sit here and we're going to try to pause it, we have the potential of seeing millions of dollars in penalties that will hit the county, which will inevitably fall down to each and every person sitting in this room.
Murley said the county could ask a court to extend the deadline for implementing the values.
The reassessment was rushed, and it's left taxpayers frustrated and extremely confused.
Welby agreed.
Next door neighbor, a 94-year-old Korean War veteran, Sam has no idea what that means as to what his new tax bill is going to be. And that's not fair. It's not right.
A lawyer for the taxpayers who sued to force reassessment has already rejected delaying. The election winner is supposed to replace Brenda Sacco. She was sworn into the office on Wednesday to replace former Commissioner Matt McGloin, who resigned 8 months ago. But Sacco and the County Democratic Party have hinted at going to court to invalidate the election so she can stay in office until McGloin's term ends in January 2028. Welby, Cappellini, and Murley said they will fight to keep the seat if they win. Reporting from Scranton, I'm Boris Krauchenyuk, WVIA News.
Thanks, Boris. Keep up with this story at WVIA.org. More up to date after this break.
I'm Roger Dupuy from WVIA News. If you haven't already, sign up to get our free newsletter, WVIA News Notes. It's delivered right to your email inbox each Tuesday and Friday mornings. Go to WVIA.org and click on newsletters to subscribe.
Welcome back. So Halloween is right around the corner, and there are plenty of chances for tricks and treats in the region. This weekend, creepy characters will come to life in the stacks of the Bloomsburg Public Library when the historic building transforms into a haunted library. Here's more if you dare to listen. The first time Connor Henry braved the darkened basement of the Bloomsburg Public Library, he got a chill and an idea.
The one night after a murder mystery show, I had to put something downstairs in the basement by myself. And the lights were off, and it terrified me. And I said to myself, if I'm scared down here, who else is going to be scared down here?
He asked the board about making a haunted house experience for the library with his new production company, Dark Mind Experiences. And the haunted library was born.
This is where you're going to see witches creating their spell from a...
This weekend, night librarians will lead guests through every floor of the library, where haunting literary characters come to life at night and wait around every corner. Admission to the haunted library will benefit the Bloomsburg Public Library and two others. Library Director Ammon Young says the fundraiser will go a long way towards supporting their programs.
And now we have more than 20 programs per week, so it's more than 100 per month. And these could be anything from like chess club to bridge club to a grief support group to civic conversations.
Tours run from 7 p.m. until 9:30 p.m. on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night. It's family-friendly, but for a more toned-down experience, Henry says to stop by between 7 and 8.
This is where we have a little jump scare right here.
For all the details on the haunted library and other Halloween happenings in our region, go to WVIA.org. Leaving you on a hopeful note this Friday, WVIA's Lisa Mazzarella is back with the latest Community Connection.
The subject is food this week. In Luzerne County, Tracy Salengo, founder of the nonprofit Fork Over Love, and board chair Tim Lambert discuss a novel way to nourish a community.
Fork Over Love started in January of 2021 as an emergency response to the pandemic to bridge the gap between independent restaurants and folks who were struggling as a result of the pandemic. We purchase chef-made takeout meals from independent restaurants, and we turn around and we offer that food to people who are struggling to put food on the table, no questions asked. This was a completely new, socially innovative way to bridge the gap at a time when it was desperately needed.
This was a great effort on a lot of restaurants who were also hurting. But how did you manage to encourage them and then put all the pieces together?
It started by gathering a board of women. We came together, we rolled up our sleeves and reached out to a few restaurants, said, would you be interested in this? And we began. Our first event was held on February 3rd, 2021, in the parking lot of Corpus Christi Parish in West Pittston. There was a nor'easter the day before we started. They had the parking lot cleared for us. So many people showed up just to help. The women over at Corpus Christi Parish organized that takeout line and really showed us how to do it. As of the moment that I'm in your chair, we have distributed 96,000 meals, reinvested $942,000 back into the restaurant community. We've helped over 100 restaurants. We've got more than 350 volunteers who've shown up, and we partner with a number of nonprofit agencies to deliver food to them on a weekly or monthly basis now.
Aside from your original idea, you are now working with numerous nonprofits, and they're also helping you distribute food to those who need it.
Yes. We partner in four different program areas. We partner with early education and child care centers, family and health service centers, college food pantries, and the public school system so that we can use their parking lots to reach low-income neighborhoods.
I'm trying to wrap my head around the enormity of this idea. One person who had a thought and has fed thousands of people in these last few years. That's a lot of cooperation, but a lot of components went into making this run so smoothly. Tim, could you tell us about some of those components?
So I can actually speak on behalf of the board and actually as a donor and a sponsor. Back in May of 21, Tracy came to the McCarthy family and asked if we wanted to partake in this idea, because food insecurity is always going to be a forefront in the United States and even in NEPA.
It took roughly 9 months for me to just reach out and make connections. And it really was organic at that point. People just joined. Restaurants signed on. We have 31 certified restaurant partners. They are just such good people.
The passion for this organization is contagious. And so, Tim, I wanted to direct this question to you. What goes through your mind when you are handing over a meal to someone you don't even know?
Giving that meal over to whoever it may be, that's just good deed that you did for that day. Hopefully it passes along to somebody else that they will do another good deed to somebody else.
Tracy, if anyone in our listening area is interested in how did you get started, would you be willing to share it with them?
Absolutely. What makes it work is having a group of members of the community who want to make their community better. That's it.
Special thanks to Tracy Salengo, founder of a unique nonprofit, Fork Over Love in Luzerne County, and Board Chairman Tim Lambert. You can hear our conversation in its entirety on our podcast, wvia.org/community. For WVIA's Community Connection, I'm Lisa Mazzarella.
So, how are we feeling? All caught up and ready for the weekend? Find more stories at WVIA.org. I'm Sarah Cinto. Thanks for hanging out with me this week. We're back on Monday, so make sure you subscribe and listen every weekday so you don't miss a beat. Have a great weekend, everyone. I'll catch you next week, right here on Up to Date.